Krishna is saying why Arjuna should continue fighting, why he should not give up. That's kind of essence of this. Why Arjuna should fight, not give up his prescribed duty.
And this also is very, very practical in our day-to-day life. Like, you know, we face this all often. So let's see what things we can draw, application points, and see how we can apply this. Text number 14.
Let's recite together.
Matra sparsha sukaunteya shitoshana sukha dukkada agama payino nitya samstitikshya svabharata. Matra sparsha sukaunteya shitoshana sukha dukkada agama payino nitya samstitikshya svabharata.
Titikshasva means tolerate. So that's the essence of this verse.
O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed.
Okay, let's elaborate on the translation, just to understand what it is. So what Krishna is saying is, Arjuna is addressing Arjuna by two names. What are the names?
Son of
Kunti, Kaunteya, and Sion of Bharata or Bharata. Right, we will come to that significance of, you know, these words later on. Then it says, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress. So, Krishna is clarifying that happiness and distress, their appearance is non-permanent. That means it's not that always you'll be happy and always you'll be distressed. And similarly, their disappearance. So, happiness and distress also disappear. That is also temporary. Like how summer and winter seasons, they come and go. Like that happiness and distress, they come and go, come and go. How do we perceive them? Why do we feel something as happy or distress? Because of sense perception, because of contact with the senses. O Sion of Bharata, and because of that, one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Because we are soul, right? So, if we feel happiness or distress because of contact with senses, remembering that we are soul, we should just tolerate that and continue with our duty. So, that's the point Krishna is telling Arjuna. Yeah.
Perfect. In the proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearances and disappearances of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magha, January to February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principles does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman who does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight is the religious principle of the Kshatriyas. And although one has to fight with some friends or relatives, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge. Because by knowledge and devotion, only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya, illusion.
We can stop there.
So what's the... So what do we see in this, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress. Right? Everyone of us experience that, right? So we cannot be always happy or will not be always in distress also. Some point, you know, it's like a wave. Sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we feel distressed. So it's always duality. So it said that, you know, this world itself, it runs on the principles of duality. So if you take anything, let's take a few things as, right? If it's heat in one place,
It's hot and
it's cold in some other place. For one person, it may be sometime happiness, sometime it's distress. Sometime we'll get honored, and sometime we'll get dishonored also. It's not that we'll always be, you know, honored by somebody. So that's why it said that it's always duality. So that's why Krishna here is giving, for Arjuna also is telling the same thing. So, because right now he is in distress, because he is materially attached to his grandparents. So Krishna is telling, you know, you overcome that, right? You tolerate that, because the real... prescribed duty, Prabhupada here only says, right? One has to follow the prescribed duties and not deviate from his prescribed duties. So Prabhupada is clearly telling that one has to follow the prescribed rules and regulation of religious principles in order to rise up to the platform of knowledge, because by knowledge and devotion only one can liberate himself from the clutches of Maya. And we did discuss what's the real the meaning, definition of liberation. Anybody remember what's the definition of liberation?
Liberation means coming out of this cycle of birth and death.
Yes, that's the real liberation actually. Liberation means we have heard many things, right? Mukti, people say many definitions, but the real definition is getting out of bodily concept of life, or birth, getting out of cycle of birth and death. That's the real liberation. And that you can do only by knowledge and devotion. We need to have a knowledge and we follow, apply it in devotional service. Without knowledge, it becomes fanatism, right? A lot of people in India, you know, it becomes a blind following. So we should not be a blind followers. So that's why we should have knowledge and then practice. Then you have a very strong foundation. Otherwise, our foundation will be so weak. Somebody will say something, then, you know, it starts, you know, falling apart, all your whatever your ideas, concepts you have. So that's why if you have a proper, clear understanding, knowledge, then you will be convinced. You will never get deviated.
So the sense perception, right? Like, is it constant for everyone? Is it same for all?
It's same, but not at the same time necessarily. Right? Like, even in for this room, I might be feeling cold, you might be feeling warm.
Hmm.
So it's not permanent, and it's not at the same time. It's for same time.
Everyone has different quality. Let's say, for like dog, he has like strong sense of smelling, but we don't have.
Yeah, yeah.
So different degree.
That's right. Yeah. So it's relative. Basically, it's born out of the body, the given body, and also given conditioning we have in that. Like all of us have something. I don't know whether you heard the term called conditioning. Conditioning is like, you know, we are acclimatized to certain behavior patterns and likes and dislikes for time immemorial. So that's what we keep carrying. So one Maharaj was telling during the class, like, let's say some people have specific, you know, strong likings for certain types of food and strong dislikings, right? It's all in the mind actually. It's not about the, but somehow, you know, we have that habit. Like we can see, you know, some like Prabhu likes quinoa like anything, and I cannot eat quinoa. Like that's the only thing, you know, we so much differ so much. So it's like, I cannot never understand what taste he gets. He can never understand why I don't like it. So that's the conditioning we have, right? So because of that, it becomes everything is relative basically. So if we act based on sense perception, then essentially there is no rule, right? Whatever I feel like doing, I will do. Whatever I don't like doing, I don't do. Right? So everybody like this, as we discussed, they have different you know, rules and regulations according to the likes, dislikes. So then where is the, you know, the
standard.
Yeah. What's the standard? So the standard is that prescribed duties. So irrespective of what likes and dislikes I have, minimally I have to adhere to the duties I have to follow. As a human, you know, like generally, as a common person, like, you know, if I marry, you know, my responsibility is to take care of my wife, kids, minimally as a materialist, even materialistic person. But beyond that, if you are taking to spiritual life, there even more, like, minimally I have to chant some rounds, I have to eat prasadam, and, you know, you can increase your things, stand, like, whatever things you need to do. So how can we What is the proof that, you know, we are not being succumbed to the sense perception? How can we say we are rising? See, Krishna is asking Arjuna to rise above this sense perception, right? So how do we, you know, measure it, or how do we quantify it? Like, what does it mean to be rising above? What should we be doing in order to say I am above sense perception?
When you stay equal in terms of distress and happiness, when you don't move by that.
Don't move means, yeah, that we can't say, you know, what is move, right? Tangibly, how can we say?
It doesn't bother you too much.
Whether you like it or not, you are doing it.
Exactly. You stick to your duties. See, for example, some duty is, okay, every Friday there is a class happening. No, I have committed myself little bit to come to the class. Suddenly there is a horrible weather. Or, you know, my friend calls me for a party. Or, you know, some very nice movie comes on the TV. So many distractions happen. These are all due to, you know, sense perception. So these are all due to sense perception, right? I like watching, I like hearing, I like eating. All these things are pulling me again, like as five horses are pulling me. But then, you know, am I sticking to the duty? It's like, okay, I know this is beneficial to me. Of course, it's a sacrifice, so I should. So if you make that attempt, then in that context, you have raised above sense perception. Like that, we can now take different contexts and have this, those duties and see, you know, how we are, respective. So many things happen during the day, right? Even to get up early in the morning, it's so difficult in winter season, right? As, you know, Prabhupada is saying, you know, taking bath is so difficult. Cooking is so difficult during, all mothers know very nicely, right? Sweating and heat and all this, still they have to do. If suddenly she says, you know, now it's too much hard, I'm not going to do, then how will it work? So that means she is rising above the sense perception and doing her duties. So like that, we can also analyze, like, you know, sometimes we are not able to do certain things which we committed, then what is the root cause? Why we were not able to do? Then ultimately we will see it's one of these. We are succumbed to one of these sense perceptions.
What gives rise to duality? How does the duality arise in first place?
Thinking that we have a body.
So basically because of our
senses, right?
Senses. It's a sense perception. That's why, so everything starts from the senses, right? So the duality arises because of the senses. So that's one thing. So when the senses comes in contact with sense objects. So I wrote down this thing. So what are the main senses we have? There was something called knowledge acquiring senses, the Jnanendriya. So what are those? There are, we'll not go all of them, but there are, you know, main 10 of them. We'll just name 10 of them. What are the knowledge acquiring senses, Jnanendriyas?
Hands, legs.
No.
Eyes. Yeah, through which we acquire knowledge. Eyes, nose.
Eyes, ears. Eyes.
Tongue.
And tongue. And
skin.
Touch.
Five,
yeah, five. So opposite, the sense objects for that. What are the sense objects for? See, we just named five of the senses. Sense objects.
Sound.
Sight.
Smell.
Taste.
Touch.
Touch.
So those things. Then karmendriya, there are five of them.
Means working senses.
Working senses, like legs, hands, tongue, genital and anus. Those are the total 15. So Prabhupada says, so the combination of all this, when they interact with each other, when sense I touch something, right? Then I feel something. So that's where you perceive something. So then that's how, so mind is the main decision maker. It does only two things, sankalpa and vikalpa. Accept and reject. The mind, that's the duty of the mind, right? Anything you take, you touch something, it says, oh, it's very nice. Otherwise, it says, it's not good. It rejects. So, mind is, you know, kind of a controlling factor there. So, that's where. So, for one person, as Prabhu was telling, one person will feel cold, you know, because of the skin. And for some person, that may be hot, right? Some people like really cold weather. For them, you know, even if a little bit 60 degrees, they feel warm, all those things. So, everything is based on our senses. And why we need to tolerate. So, as we said, Prabhupada here is saying in the translation, or Krishna is saying, we need to tolerate, we must learn to tolerate, right? So we know we can tolerate distress, right? As happiness or distress, we should tolerate
distress.
Why should we tolerate happiness?
No, why should we tolerate distress?
Yeah. No, happiness also. We know
first
we should tolerate distress. Yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah, why should we tolerate distress?
Generally, what happens if we are in too much distress?
Tolerate up in happiness. Too much, right?
In case of distress, we give up our duty or we...
Exactly, we brood and
we,
you know, spend time thinking about it.
Basically, become sad, all those things. Yeah. So that's why we want to tolerate. We don't want to go into that condition. But why you have to tolerate the happiness? That's very interesting, right?
In case of happiness also, you have to
because
excite.
Because it's temporary. You get excited, then you'll brood even more if it goes on.
So it is said that according to scripture, Prabhupada says, so you easily carry, you know,
get carried away
easily. Then according to this, Krishna's this thing, so it's like a wave. So one time you're really happy, but at the doorstep, the distress is waiting.
Yeah.
Nobody can avoid. It comes. It said that it comes on its own accord. Nobody can stop. Happiness and distress, nobody can stop. You try whatever you want to try, you will be happy one day, you will be distressed. That's how the material nature is. That's why it said that, what's that verse? Dukkhalaya Ashashvatam. It's full of miseries. And it's true, it's not that, you know. And also Prabhupada says, you know, for our own to just analyze, you take something which gave you pleasure in your whole life. It gave a lot of pleasure. Take something, like important priority one, if you think, you know, oh, something gave me pleasure. The same object would have given you a lot of pain too. Same thing, you cannot tell, you know, oh, this object gave me a lot of, you know, just the pleasure, no pain. You will never find that. Same thing, whatever you liked or whoever, you know, you liked so much, one day they would have treated you very well, you know, nicely, but the next, some point of time, if they are not treated badly, at some point of time, it's a cycle. That's why it's not, you don't have control on it. It happens. That's how it is. It's very important.
So Prahlad Maharaj says, Prahlad Maharaj, 5 years, right, he was giving verses. So he says that, as Prabhu was saying, happiness and distress, they come on their own accord. So just like we don't need to endeavor to get distress, nobody endeavors to get distress. As it comes on its own, similarly happiness also comes on its own. So that's why this valuable human form of life should not be used to, you know, reduce distress or, you know, get happiness, but it should be used to rise above these and, you know, cultivate spiritual life. That's a real purpose of human life. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was saying.
And there is one example, you know, generally we...
So one should not endeavor to mitigate the distress, or should one should not endeavor to acquire happiness, because they both come on their own, but rather use their life to cultivate spiritual progress.
Then you will never
there's actually a religion growing in the world. Actually they are following it. It's called hedonism, right? Maximize your pleasure, minimize your pain at any cost. That's it. So, but then it never works out, right? Eventually it acts like...
The old time, actually Prabhupada says, whatever philosophies we have, like so-called atheistic, all these are all offshoots of, you know, pure atheistic philosophies we had earlier.
Right.
Nothing like, you know, something newly manufactured.
Yeah.
So earlier days, once I don't know who is the person who invented this. His philosophy is, whatever happens, just somehow or the other get ghee. Somehow or the other get ghee. That's what is your motto of life. Because with ghee, you can do other things. You know, sell or I don't know what else you can do.
Charva.
Just get ghee.
Steal or something. Steal something, you get.
Charva philosophy.
Just get loan and enjoy yourself, kind of a thing.
Borrow or steal. It's still there. Yeah, it's still going.
Okay, another main point, like I wanted to discuss, which occurred to me when we were discussing this, is that, you know, practical thing for devotees or practicing devotees. So here, imagine Arjuna is kind of surrendered, right? But still Krishna is telling, this is the nature of world. So nature of the world is not going to change for you just because you have become a devotee. Right? So it's going to be like this. So the way you are going to deal with it, or the way you are going to, you know, succeed in dealing with it, is that you raise above the dualities. So similarly for all of us, you know, we have so-called many times misconception that, you know, once I start chanting, all my life will be, you know, so nice. It's a bed of roses. I just walk through, you know, walk step by step to go back to my home, back to Godhead. So that's the conception we have. But you know, that thing we should clarify now, that it's not going to be like this. Because the place we are in itself is duality, full of duality. Right? So we have to face it, no matter what. So the solution is that we become transcendental. That we become so fixed up in Krishna consciousness that these things don't disturb us. Like if somebody honors us, or somebody dishonors us, or somebody asks us to sing, somebody doesn't ask us to sing, or you know, somebody asks us to give class, or something or the other happens, we are not focused on that, those things. We are focused on just serving Krishna, whatever happens. So actually, very nice, this is a very significant verse. We have discussed this, right? Brahma Vimohana Leela, we discussed this, right? I don't know whether. So Lord Brahma, right? He is the secondary creator of each. So there are many universes which emanate from the body of the Mahavishnu, right? Many of them. Each of them, within each of them, the Lord enters as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And from his navel comes Brahma. We discussed a little bit that, right? So each universe has one Brahma. So there are so millions of universes, millions of Brahmas. So one Brahma once, I think our Brahma of this thing, when Krishna was present, he knew Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was bewildered that he was 6 years old and he's playing with his cowherd boyfriends in such a humanly way. Like, you know, they bring some sweets from home and somebody eats and then says, Krishna, this is so nice, eat this. They eat, the one cowherd boy eats, gives to Krishna. She says, oh, very nice, he's so eager. Krishna eats that. And somebody, you know, takes a samosa. He says, Krishna, close your eyes, I'm going to give you something to eat. Then Krishna closes his eyes, he removes all the stuffing from the samosa, puts flowers and feeds to Krishna. So like that, they do all these games like this. So Brahma is watching from top and is like, okay, I know he is, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, but how could he be doing all these things? I really have to test him. So I'm going to, you know, exhibit my opulence in front of him and check, you know, what is this boy up to. So then what he does is, he steals all the cows and the all the calves and the cowherd boys, Brahma. And just for a moment, he goes back to his Brahma Loka, which is actually 1 year in our time. So what Krishna does is, he expands himself into each of these calves and the cowherd boys, exactly as how they were, with same characteristics, individuality, relationships, everything. And for 1 year, they went back to with their family. So all the parents and the cows, everybody, they were overjoyed. They were like, they knew that, you know, they couldn't differentiate that something different from our child. But all they knew is they loved their child as much as they used to love Krishna. They couldn't understand why they have so much love for this. They didn't know it's Krishna. So anyway, after 1 year happened, then Brahma came back. Then he saw that everything was happening just like that. All the boys are playing like that, call the calves, everything. Then he understood, okay, this is Krishna. Then he realizes, he becomes humble. And then he says very beautiful prayers. In that one, this prayer is very important to practice in devotees, where he says that Tattenu kampam shushamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayabak. So he says that a person who day after day just tolerates the dualities in this world with folded palms, praying for your mercy, thinking that, you know, I deserve more, that is the person is eligible for liberation at the moment of death. So what is the qualification to go back home, back to Godhead, is given in this verse, which is to just go on tolerating all the dualities with a grateful heart, not with a grudging heart. like, you know, oh, I take up Krishna consciousness, still, you know, these things are happening to me. It's not like that. It's like, you know, you're merciful, Lord. I'm supposed to get much more. You know, maybe I'm supposed to have my leg cut off or whatever, but I just got this small scratch. Right? So, of course, this is very, very, you know, so many Maharajas have given deep lectures. It's the principle to follow where, you know, bar can keep on increasing. You can never say, I've always fulfilled this. Because initially, it may be like for small thing, you may feel like, okay, I have to live up to this verse in this small incident. But later on, it may be a huge reversal. Like, you know, your dearmost friend leaves, dearmost person leaves the life. Then how can you, you know, take it? So it can go as deep as anything. But this is the essence, like, which all of us have to live up to in order to survive in devotional life. Otherwise, because our faith is going to be tested for sure. These are what we call reversals. Right? Our faith is going to be tested. So in those situations, are we going to say, you know, Krishna, I'm yours, I want to stay by you. Or we say, you know, okay, I did all this, why it's happening to me?
That's very common, right? We have heard many times. I'm pretty sure everybody, one of us, gone through that. When the time is good, you know, we don't really think much. But when something happens, then immediately we start blaming. Why it's happening to me? That's one of the device topic, right? Why? Bad things.
Yeah, why bad things happen?
To good people.
So how? What is the qualification which helps one go through these situations? The only qualification is sincerity. Sincerity. If you are sincere, Krishna will give you the ability to, you know, raise above that situation. He'll give the intelligence how to deal with it in such a way that you'll turn out to be faithful rather than go away. So we have, later on Krishna says, four kinds of people who come to Krishna. Right? He says, one who is distressed, one who is requiring, wanting wealth, one who wants knowledge, one who is seeking for absolute truth. Among these four, right, except the one who is seeking for absolute truth, rest of them have material motive because they want wealth, distress, everything. So these people, they come, but once their desires get fulfilled, they can go away. But by the time if they, you know, they become sincere, they develop a sincere urge to go back to Krishna rather than just mitigating the distress, then they remain. So what filters people is the sincerity.
So we said that, you know, the senses causes dualities. So let's go to text 522.
What is the trying to give some example?
Yeah, I will give that one. After this one, I will give one. I heard one nice story about 522. So here, the translation. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. So it's the same thing, right? It, you know, it fortifies the statement that because of the material senses we get pleasure and pain, so we have to tolerate. It's the wise man
does not take part in the sources of misery.
Which one?
Still
2.2. 2 point?
Which 5.22. I think what it means is that
intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery.
Sources, why
you
think sources of misery?
No, basically senses, right? You.
They are sources of misery, senses.
For example, you engage your senses in something, you know, which causes pleasure or pain, they don't really engage in that.
Okay.
Senses, basically it's the senses, yeah. So in this one, Prabhupada, no, tell me, I have to give some story, I heard some nice story I wanted to tell.
Sense pleasure is source of misery. Pleasure acquired through senses is a source of misery.
Anybody has question?
The sense pleasure is source of misery because it causes anxiety inside once it goes in. It takes away from what we are supposed to do, like the shreyas and prayas there, right? It takes what is enjoyable at this minute. One, it's not going to last forever. And when it's done, we are going to, if we are at a very high at that time, like very happy and all, once it's done, we are going to come down.
Mm.
So that duality there is there. So it affects us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And number two, it takes away from what we are supposed to do, the duty,
yes.
whatever,
yes.
takes away.
Yeah.
And then it's very hard for the mind to go back and start walking there.
Yeah.
Because we are here.
Mm.
If supposed to go here and we take little deviation and go here, then the deviation can go further down.
So what I was thinking is that it's not, we actively try to seek pleasure and we actively try to avoid the pain, right? It eventually comes, but it's because it's pleasurable only we do it, right? It's not, I mean, let's say listening to songs, right?
You get some pleasure.
Correct, and that's why we do it repeatedly,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
But then we seek actively to do it.
Yeah.
So
that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying not to do. That's what we are,
okay,
because of
right.
bodily conception.
We are doing
that. We are doing it,
right.
because
right.
we have been bodily conception.
Okay, this is a very relevant. So you got up that. This example is very relevant. Rupa's
because we are
story.
Not happy when he's not there. So we are doing it again.
Correct. So but it's still pleasurable there and also, right? That's
what,
why we do.
See,
it.
The whole thing, we last time also we discussed, right?
Yeah.
We were asking, you know, body changes, soul doesn't change. What does it mean, right? So basically the thing is, because of identification with the body, we think that is pleasure. Or we, of course it doesn't mean, it's not really thinking. We can feel also, it's not completely illusory. So there is some pleasure, definitely it's
right.
there. Right?
Yeah.
But it's temporary.
But it's because
it's...
pleasure
to sense, not to...
Exactly.
Yes.
Not the soul.
See, that's where I'm getting lost. I accept that, but I'm not able to understand that. There's a big difference if you understand what I mean. One second, let me give you another example.
Yeah, yeah.
Sugar, no matter how many times you taste it, tastes sweet, right? Even when I was a kid, I used to eat spoonfuls of sugar repeatedly, not once or twice. Whenever nobody was looking, I used to go take huge spoon of sugar, eat it, go run around, then when nobody's looking in. Every time it was still sweet. Even now it's still sweet. I still want to eat.
It's,
but if you know,
it is,
your
let him continue. Let him continue. Yeah. What happens
so
after that?
No. It's
yeah.
still sweet, right? No, the
yeah,
point
yeah.
is that you actively seek it because
yeah.
it's pleasurable.
Yeah.
Take hearing
yeah,
the song,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
You'll take a song, you like it, or you take something you like. You keep doing it because you like to do it, and it's because it's pleasurable.
Yes.
That pleasure is not going away, and that's why you keep repeatedly
yes.
trying
yes.
to do it, right?
Yes.
So, what I'm not able to comprehend there is that now somebody, first off, somebody is enjoying it, right? That's why they...
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it, yes.
Right?
Yes.
If we, let's say it's like touching a fire. If I touch
it,
I
painful,
burn,
nobody
I,
does,
I will
yeah.
never want to do it again.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But it's
yeah.
not like that for...
Yeah.
So, there is something that's pleasurable that I want to repeatedly
yes.
do it, right?
Yes.
And that's what drives me to it. Taking it away is... giving me pain, that's different. So that's why I want to keep doing it even more, right? Does that make any sense?
That's true.
Taking it away.
So that's true,
so
but
don't,
it's
not
all...
doing that.
That's
not
material
doing
pleasure.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So
you
don't see, it's all rooted on, first of all, coming from consciousness, like where, what you identify yourself with, rooted
right.
with that. So you identify yourself, we identify ourselves with, this body, you know, this senses, everything. And whatever my tongue feels happiness, I feel I am
right.
happy.
Right.
My ears feel happiness, I feel I am happy. So that's our, you know, metrics. So that's how we have been acquiring pleasure
yes.
so long. So we continue doing it because we don't know there is a better pleasure. That's the main thing. There is a higher pleasure where the soul completely gets satisfied.
Hmm. But
not
okay.
But that's also coming through senses only.
So, just to add to that sense, just, you know, to make it more, so the same thing, as you take sugar, so it never satisfies. You keep taking the sugar, you
correct.
Want to take more.
Correct.
So, the same thing, the spirit soul, it's always Sachid Ananda, always blissful. So, it cannot be satisfied with our material senses. Whatever you are trying to enjoy, that does not fulfill the desires
completely
of, so
satisfied.
It cannot satisfy the spirit soul.
Okay.
That's why we keep, even after eating sweet,
still you see something else, other sweet, other than sugar, you still want to eat. It's not just the sugar.
Right.
It will never satisfy. So, it's compared to a itching. The material desires, it's compared to a itching. So, if you have a itching, what happens?
Keep scratching it, it grows worse.
Yeah, it becomes a wound. Right. After some time, it causes pain. So, it's like that.
So, the pain material is, will somebody will put a note, like you got diabetes. That's a pain.
That's how it is. What happens?
And you then, you know, that same sugar is now causing pain.
Yeah, it causes
pain. Right?
Right.
So, in this, I will,
exactly.
So I will
cannot
just tell
eat, cannot
very,
stop it.
It's a very beautiful, Prabhupada gives example. Ardha kukutuki?
Ardha kukutinai.
I will never get. You know the meaning of that?
Half and knowledge. Half and
knowledge. What do you say?
Ardha akim
katra
jal, right?
Yes.
Half knowledge is a
deity. No.
This is basically Prabhupada, how he relates is, we always seek pleasure, right? That's the, as Prabhu said, we always seek, always seek pleasure. But Prabhupada says, you know, how we end up in pain also. So what happens, there was a farmer, so he had a hen which used to give a golden egg, every day one golden egg. So he used to take that and he became a very rich person. Then he thought, you know, because of greed, right? Naturally, that's what happens. Because of the greed, he thought, so he has to feed. So that's the expense part. So he was calculating. That's the expense, feeding this thing. So he thought, why I should feed? Anyway, the egg is coming from the back side. So I'll keep the back side and cut the front portion. So what he did is, he cut the front portion. So then what happened? The hen died. So basically he lost whatever it was. So because of whatever the pleasure it gives, at some, we always keep seeking pleasure. But the same thing, because of our greed, as I said, itchy, it becomes more pleasure, itchy. Then it sometimes it causes pain also.
And as we get older also, like when we are small, we play with the doll gives pleasure. Then it changes.
Yeah, it keeps changing.
And after this thing kind of...
Small car will be present, but when you are growing,
you want a bigger. If you observe children, actually, they fight for the same reasons, right? Same, like if the friends or something, you know,
Father,
that guy
size,
has this,
yeah.
I don't have it, or you know, their mother did this or whatever. Same, actually, same thing in a bigger scale we do, but actually,
exactly.
It's the same.
I always watch that.
Yeah.
I always compare myself. Oh, I was also doing that.
Yeah.
I'm also doing it.
Yeah.
Just in the extrapolated.
Yeah. Exactly.
Changes, and with experience we also know that, we also see that
you,
it changes.
You grow up.
And then
you
grow up, and then it doesn't bother us as much.
Same like whenever a kid is asking, I need this car, and next day again he will ask another car. So I'm thinking, okay, we are also doing that.
Yeah.
Today we have one car, we are not satisfied, we are thinking we'll buy another one, we'll sell this one.
That's how it is going on, the whole material.
Then I am thinking, okay, I am also not satisfied, you will also not satisfied.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You will ask another.
But we have grown over it, so we can tell the kid, right? But for us, nobody can tell that. We cannot understand.
Well, I'm just applying the same theorem.
Yeah.
For us.
No, what I'm saying is, if somebody comes and tells, why you want to, you know, sell this car, get a new car, it's waste of, you know, you'll not get happiness in that new car. So after 2 days, again, you want to sell it, don't do that, Prabhu. Then you'll say, no, I know I'm going to give happiness with this car, I'm going to do it. With a kid, you can tell because you have grown over that situation, right? You can tell nicely.
Because our sense is like too much attracted to that new car.
Ah.
You are buying up that
you to.
So the main, at least I wanted this, you know, the main essence from this is, because we are currently live in this condition, we are part of the material world, so we should learn how to tolerate things. Because we are going to come in contact with the senses, sense objects, but we should follow, we should do our prescribed duty. And we are discussed, our prescribed duty, we already discussed many times, it's our devotional service. So that's the positive things we can take. We discuss so many things, so just to understand what conditions we are in. But the positive thing is, we should engage our senses positively in service, devotional service. So then automatically our sense will, I don't have the reference for that, being in the current material world also, you can be a liberated person. When you engage your senses, Rishikena Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyati. So when you engage our senses, even in our current condition, you are a liberated person. Because you never accrue any karma or anything.
Actually, in the same point you were telling, right, the, you know, sense of sweet. We have, like, some people have, like, for example, I like to eat a lot of sweet, right? And also hot. Some, like, there are six tastes we have. Sour, spicy, sweet, and all those things. Six tastes, right? It said that it, even if one taste becomes overwhelming, in the sense that it can control you, that can actually take you away from spirituality. Initially, we may think, you know, oh, I like to eat sweet. I am doing out of my, you know, free will, and I am doing as a, king. Basically, it's like we don't feel that, you know, it's actually binding us. We feel actually out of my choice, I am taking this. Nobody can stop me. We feel as if, you know, out of my choice, I am doing it. But actually, once we start taking spirituality and we want to take it seriously, we will see actually these habits, how much they are pulling us away. Because, you know, sometimes we don't have to, or Ekadashi, or someday, you know, you don't have to, you should not eat certain kind of food. But if it's in front of you, imagine how much pull you will get, right? So those, then you will realize actually, whatever conditioning we have acquired, how bad it is for spiritual progress. Yeah.
That's why we in Mama said, no taste.
Sigma has a taste, you have to develop that taste.
Exactly.
That's acquired taste.
Acquired taste. Hopefully, you know, after 50 years, maybe I will be able to eat.
Count. That's true of his mother.
The goal of life.
So, in the purport, that's why Prabhupada is giving example of a cook, right? Lady cooking during the summer season. And the person taking bath during winter season.
Now we give hot baths.
Yeah. So both of them are doing because that's their prescribed duties. Nobody wants to avoid it. Because if you avoid them, basically if you don't take bath early morning, right? According to scripture, you're not a cleanly person, right? When you get up, first thing morning you have to do is take bath. And then you do whatever, you know, offering the puja or whatever. That's the duty as to, according to scripture. If you don't do, that means that you're not a clean person.
And this last four lines of the first paragraph, Prabhupada summarizes the, you know, the pattern. So one has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order, then what will happen because of that? Because of that, one rises up to the platform of knowledge. So this knowledge is the knowledge of the soul. Instead of, you know, always dealing with, you know, senses, sense objects and happiness, distress, you raise to the platform of soul. This is transcendental knowledge. Then, because of knowledge and devotion, because of transcendental knowledge, you know your soul. So, what activities you have to do is activities and devotion to the Lord. So, you'll cultivate devotion. So, with knowledge and devotion, what will happen is you will completely get out of illusion. You'll no more will be in illusion. You just want to, you know, Maya, right? Yoga, you'll be in Yoga Maya. So, that's so. That's why later on, at third chapter or something, Arjuna asks Krishna, it's like, how is it the soul is forced to act in certain way, even as if, you know, unwillingly, even though unwillingly, it's forced to act in certain way. Like, for example, I know something is not good, but somehow or the other, in some situations, I'll be forced to act like that. Like, for example, maybe eating or something like that, right? Or I know, let's say, I should not go this is not good for me. But because of conditioning or desires, I'm forced to do it. So Arjuna asks this question. And Krishna says, yes, that's because of only one, because of lust. Because of lust, one is impelled to act in a way, even though it's not really they want to do it, they will be forced to do it. So the lust is the enjoyment propensity. So Krishna says how, and then he tells there are three places lust resides. You know, he identifies the enemy. He tells where the enemy resides. So the lust resides in mind, intelligence and false ego within each of us. And then he says how to conquer the lust. He says conquer the lust using transcendental knowledge. With knowledge you defeat the enemy called lust. So that's why here we see that with knowledge and devotion you conquer over the illusion. So which is like lust. Because of enjoyment we get into Maya, right?
So the last purport, I think it's kind of self-explanatory. You can read. We didn't read, right? Last paragraph. Yeah, you can read.
The two different names of address given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kaunteya signifies his great blood relationship for his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duty. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting.
It's so beautiful, right? The great heritage, heritage brings responsibility in the matter of property. It's true, right? Even in the, they say, right, in companies and all, the more the higher you go, the responsibility is more. And also it's said that, you know, the in the higher you go, the fall will be harder when you fall back, right? You can work with that. It's very beautiful, yeah.
Next one.
So we'll go to next verse. Anybody has questions so far? We are spending more time, like, you know, on this one, but these are very foundations. Once you have some understanding, it's very useful.
I have one question. So in moments of distress, especially when you are having bodily pain, like I'm having headache, it's so hard to chant, and you know, so that's why sometimes I may feel like should I mitigate it, so that I can concentrate on chanting.
Hmm. You should, yeah.
Yeah.
If you have, for the practical reason you gave, right, headache, so you should take some medicine or something, or you should take proper rest. If that helps you to recover from the headache, you should act on it. Yeah, you should. Like, for example, you have some, you know, some other illness or something. So we cannot just take, because we are not in that really transcendental position, we cannot tell, you know, oh, Krishna will take care of it, maybe I'll just sit and chant. And if you have some sickness, if it needs doctor attention, you should just go to doctor, you know, take medicine, then you can come and chant. Yeah, that's practical, yeah, we should do it, yeah. Okay.
Because that you are doing to serve Krishna better, so it's even, that's also devotion service.
Yeah.
But if you are doing that so that, you know, I can watch a movie, midnight movie or something, then it's, then you are like, you know, as Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you are mitigating distress.
Go to text 15. Yami na vyatayanti ite purusham purusharasaba samadukha sukham dhiram soamrutatya kalpate. Yami na vyatayanti ite purusham purusharasaba samadukha sukham dhiram soamrutatya kalpate.
Best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both, certainly eligible for liberation.
So this is the result of text 14. If a person follows whatever Krishna has said in text 14, so what happens if they follow that text 14, whatever instruction Krishna is giving? So this is the result of that, if you follow the instruction of Krishna.
Mm. Yeah, it's the same verse Brahma was saying, right? If you tolerate these dualities and you remain faithful, you'll be eligible to, you know, go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
So same thing Krishna is saying.
Perfect. Anyone who is studying determination for advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashrama institution, the fourth state of life, namely the renounced order, sannyasa, is painstaking situation. But one who is serious doubt
about
making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyasa order of life, spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationship, to give up connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as Kshatriya, he is advised to preserve
persevere,
even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyasa at age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. yet for a higher cause he took sannyas and was steady in discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage.
Is that correct?
Which
because
just
think, what we have heard is if you marry, it's your duty to take care of wife and children. But at the age of 24, he did just the opposite.
Yeah.
That's what Prabhupada is saying. For a higher cause, right?
Hmm.
So for a higher cause, actually in order to save the whole world or in order to bring everyone to Krishna consciousness, he had to take that sannyas for his preaching. So for the higher cause, normally that's a duty. If you get married or, you know, then you have to take care of your wife and mother, family members, everything. That's a normal general duty. But there is something called emergency duty. So where, of course, we cannot capriciously decide that.
Yeah.
I cannot suddenly say, oh, my higher duty is to go to some country and stay alone and fight a war there. We cannot decide ourselves. So it has to be properly authorized and properly guided. So according to that, like if we do that higher duty, then that lower obligations are already fulfilled. Like how we discussed, like serving Krishna. We discussed, right? Somebody remembers very nicely the six kinds of people we are obliged to.
Yeah.
We are obliged to forefathers and fellow citizens and who knows all of them. That's okay.
Yeah,
so there are so six kinds of people we are obliged to, just for the sake of living. Forefathers and then, demigods and relatives and other living entities.
They are like that.
So generally, so we are obliged to actually fulfill our obligations to all of these people. But if we are not able to do that, but if we just serve Krishna, automatically these obligations are fulfilled. So similarly, the same thing. For a higher cause, to save the humanity, he had to give up his so-called material obligations. So then it's, it is authorized.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we should be careful. We cannot make the decisions on our own.
Hmm.
For us, our duty is to take care of wife, children. Minimally, that's what we are at.
So in this case, as you said, Lord Chaitanya, so when he was that age, so already the Vaishnavism in Bengal particularly, it was going down. There, people were spreading a lot of misuse. And because he was married, and at that time, nobody respects.
Yeah, married.
If you are a spiritual person and if you are married, then nobody is to respect. Because they had lot of, top Saraswati Brahmanas, Mayavad Sannyasis and all. So that's why Lord Chaitanya has to renounce the family life and take sannyas. Because that's the way to bring up the Vaishnavism in Bengal. So he did that. And that's how it became Gaudiya Vaishnavam. So, and it was authorized by his spiritual master. I think Madhavendra Puri or Ishwara Puri. Under the direction of them. Yeah. And it's Prabhupada says very clearly that, during this time of age, whatever, sannyas is not usually recommended.
Kali Yuga,
sannyas is not recommended because people cannot sustain the principles. As Prabhupada here is saying, it's a painstaking situation to give up family, children, all those things, right? But there are few people who do, there are a lot of sannyasis who do. But they are all, great souls. They are endowed with a lot of mercy. So it's 8:25 almost. So if you have any questions you want to discuss, or we can go for chanting. Needs.
Yeah.
No, in the upstairs only. It's a box, that metal tray.
No.